Virgil and family would like to welcome everyone here to our funeral service for Sharon. And Village Bible Church would like to welcome every one of you. And as the pastor here, I'd like to welcome you and say again that it's been a real privilege and an honor to be involved in preparing for the service and getting to know the family. And what we'll do is we'll have a prayer and we'll ask the Lord's blessing and help during this service. Let's all stand together and we'll begin the service with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we take this moment to acknowledge you as creator, the giver of life. And Lord, we understand that you are the taker of life and that you love the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son. And Lord Jesus, you are the Savior of life. You have come and died on the cross to take away sin. You have been raised up to give eternal life. You are the Savior and the Lord. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you send your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And Lord, at this time, we would ask your blessing on the service, that we would honor you, that you would be glorified, and that we would also honor our loved one, Sharon. Lord, thank you for this time. We pray your blessing as we proceed with this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Begin with a poem that I think is common and we know well. Maybe you've heard it before. I am standing on the seashore. I'm standing upon the seashore, a ship at my side, spreads her white sails to the moving breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until, at length, she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and the sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, "There, she is gone." "Gone where?" "Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mast, hull, and spar as she was when she left my side. And she is just as able to bear her load of living freight to her destined port. Her diminished size is in me, not in her." And just at that moment when someone says, "There, she is gone," there are other eyes watching her coming and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, "Here she comes," and that is dying. Dying comes in its own time and its own way, and death is as unique as the individual experiencing it. We go through it with each other, and we go through it as a family. Sharon K. Sprague, 81 years old, of Salina, passed away Sunday, June 26, 2022. She was preceded in death by her great-grandson, Austin, sisters Evelyn Ailes, Dorothy Harp, and brother Roland Davis. Survivors include her sister, Jolene Jones of Norman, Oklahoma, two brothers, Gerald Davis of Preston, Texas, Larry Davis of Oklahoma City. Sharon was born in Salina, Kansas on May 3, 1941, a daughter of the late Viola Erb and Walter Davis. She worked in housekeeping at Howard Johnson Hotel and worked at Tony's Pizza and was a nighttime attendant at Arbor Court. On July 7, 1962, Sharon married Virgil in Salina, and take a look at what they did. Also surviving her are her four daughters here, Vicky and Roxanne, her husband Carrie, Laura. Did I say Laura? I've said Lori once, or Laura. Her husband Richard, and Shelley with her husband Lynn. And all the grandkids. I counted up 17 written here. I thought my family had a lot of grandkids. I was the oldest of all of the grandkids in my family, and we probably nearly had that many. Who's the oldest of all the grandkids here? Melissa is the oldest. Isn't it fun being the oldest one? You got seniority.
Not really.
Yeah, the babysitter, yeah. Well, and then if you look here at the great-grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren. That really is what is the legacy. Sharon's legacy. Sometimes when you come to a funeral service for someone who has done great accomplishments in their life, you have the speakers who will come and laud them for their what they have done. But really the legacy that Sharon has is her family. That's what she's done. That's what God's given her. That's what she's given to all of you. Her family was her life. Married in 1962, and really, Virgil, it's 60 years. You're in the 60th year. July 7th is the anniversary. But, you know, whether it's just a few days, I think you ought to say it's 60 years. We ought not to hash about a few days or anything like that. 60 years of blessed marriage. Virgil says that she was a faithful wife. We talked about wives, and we saw men with wives that weren't good and weren't faithful, and both of us commented how we appreciate our own wife, stood by our side, helped to make us the men that we are, so that we could raise a family. And you had a good wife. You know, that relationship started with Sharon crashing her bike, the way I understand it. So Virgil liked to go to A&W, and at A&W, I found out was where the old Jim's Chicken. It's where Jim's Chicken is now. That's where A&W was. That's before my time. And so Virgil was actually there with a girlfriend that he had at the time. But he noticed Sharon on her bicycle, and he noticed right off when she wrecked that bicycle. And he jumped out of the car and ran over and helped her get up, made sure she was okay. Well, as time went on, I wondered, we hear the story of how his girlfriend must have felt when he wanted to go up to the hospital and visit Sharon there. Now, in hearing this story, I realized that she wasn't at the hospital because she was hurt from the bicycle accident, but she was at the hospital because she was pregnant. You know what Virgil noticed on that bicycle accident was Sharon was pregnant with Vicky. And Virgil, and going to A&W, took a liking. And what he didn't realize at the time was Sharon was praying to the Lord that God would send a man into her life that would love her and that would love her child. Virgil is that man. Went long after he broke up with that girlfriend. I wonder where she's at. Well, we don't. She missed out, didn't she? In just 3 months, what a whirlwind courtship. 3 months later, Virgil and Sharon were married on July 7th, 1962. Virgil was talking about a story that is a good laugh. Sharon, riding a bicycle, didn't know how to drive, evidently. Didn't learn when she was a teenager. So Virgil took it upon himself to teach her how to drive. And Vicky was a baby at the time. Now, y'all remember, in those days, you didn't have to have car seats. So they just laid Vicky out in the back seat there on a blanket. And that's just fine. They went out in the country, in the country road, and he began to show her how to drive. And the old stick shift, that's about all he had back then. A little shaky, getting the hang of that, wasn't she? And finally got off to a start and going and was approaching the intersection. And he was wondering if she was going to stop. And waited till the last minute, and she stopped. She slammed on her brakes, and I guess Vicky went flying. Well, another car story then, after she got to be a good driver, probably still didn't use seatbelts as much. Shelley was mentioning when she was little, the door came open. And so Sharon had that mother's lock. What would you call that? That seatbelt arm, you know? Remember, all the older parents had it. My mom and dad had that. Your arm could just fly across there. You didn't need a seatbelt. Why, her arm flew across there and grabbed a hold of you, right, Shelley? And you, she says, little, all she remembers is she could look down and see the road right there. And her mom had a hold of her. And you were in the back seat, you said. She reached clear across to the back seat and held on to Shelley. So she must have learned to be a good driver then. You know something interesting Virgil has mentioned about their life? They both worked hard. Nothing was handed to you on a silver platter. And both worked jobs to support the family. And while Sharon was working at A&W and then out at the Tony's after that, raising his kids. You know, I just found this interesting. Virgil was working at Gibson's, and he showed me a paycheck stub. Now, y'all ask him to see that. You need to see that, you grandkids and great-grandkids. A paycheck stub from Gibson's, 1966. The man worked 80 hours. All right? You put us to shame, right? And he worked 31 of those hours for $1.65 an hour. And in his overtime was 49 hours at $2.47 an hour. That's a man that knows how to work. You know, he netted on that check $143.23 net after 80 hours of work. It was faithful and good and hard work. And that's the kind of employee, that's the kind of man your father, your grandfather is. That's the kind of good people Virgil and Sharon are. You know, as we go through some of the memories, there were so many great ones. And when I asked to share them, here's the secret. I can't use all of them. But isn't it fun to talk about the memories and share the stories? And I heard so many good stories. Several of the grandkids remember Grandma's unique way of making grilled cheese sandwiches. That was her specialty. Now, I guess I won't give that away. Once you hear exactly how that's done, it takes the miracle out of it, right? So, you know what it is. It wasn't how she prepared it. It was with that Grandma love that was in. It come from her hand. It come from her heart. And that's what made it a special grilled cheese sandwich. Grandma had all the old Disney movies, right? And the grandkids were always over there watching them, and all of those VHS tapes are there. I saw the VHS. Y'all need to go over there and pop one of them tapes in and just have a couple of them playing in the background next time you're over there. Go visit your grandpa and just pop one in and sit and watch one and visit with your grandpa in the evening. And that would bring great joy to him and be good to, way to remember your grandma. Watching all those good Disney VHS tapes. Disney movies are still there. Bryant spent a lot of time with her. Where's he at there? When he was little. And he talked about how, you know, when you're with your grandmother, there's a sense of security. An unconditional love. And that meant a lot to him. But Melissa reminded us that Grandma was also pretty tough, and she was willing to fight off poisonous snakes for her grandkids. And she fought one off Melissa swinging on a play set, on the swing set. You might ask her about that. We heard about that last night. And Rodney and his wife Chastity gave a plant, right? We've heard about that. And it's there at the, Arbor Court. Yeah, it's there at the Arbor Court. And she really bragged that one up, didn't she? And the way I understand is her unconditional, overflowing love for all of her kids, all of her grandkids. All of you share fond memories of being at Grandma's house, being with Grandma, being hugged and held by Grandma. And those are memories that you'll take with you for your whole life. That's what God showed of himself through your grandmother. Always embrace that and keep that with you. Mom's hobby, she learned to crochet early in life by an aunt. Crocheted many blankets, shawls over the years. Didn't she say she made a blanket for just about everybody and as best she could? Each one of her daughters and grandkids and a few others in the family. And turns out she was Martha Stewart before Martha Stewart was cool, right? We talked about her craftiness and her creativity. The branch that she brought into the house, she had an imagination. So did she let a life plant grow around that and then put her birdies in it to decorate it? She loved the birdies. And while you might have saw a dead branch that the city was clearing out, she saw a piece of art. And, you know, you could have boxed that up and sold that, Virgil, and you'd have been the first Magnolias And we could have had that in Salina, Kansas. Tumbleweed that you use as a Christmas tree. Had you pull over and grab that thing, you must have thought it was silly to throw a tumbleweed in the back seat. But she brought it home and decorated it and turned it into a Christmas tree. And did you know she invented something else? Now, maybe some other people did this, but she was drinking iced coffee before iced coffee was cool. Yeah. So, you know, she actually invented all of these things. It's too bad you couldn't have got it to market and put a patent on some of those things. Then, of course, also after the girls left, she began collecting miniatures for a Christmas town that she put up every year alongside the Christmas tree. The grandkids all remember Grandma's Christmas tree. Well, in talking to each one of the daughters, there are various stories that I collected. Uh-oh. You know what I did? I walked up here without my Bible. Right back there is my Bible. I didn't grab it. It's either there or on that seat. Well, I never made a mistake like this before. Do you see it there? What did I do with it? It's got my piece of paper in it that I need. Look at that. I hid it somewhere. That's why we can't find it. Maybe it's over there on the piano. I'll have one of them guys look for it. I apologize about that. I was trying to make sure everything's lined up, and I guess I didn't get everything lined up. Vicky told me her story, and Vicky's story, that's it. Vicky's story with her mother is also part of her personal testimony. And a time in her life like some of us do go wayward. Some of us do rebel against our parents. And some of us go down a hard road. And Vicky says that's the story of her life. She went her own way, and she didn't listen to her mom. And maybe she did have some bitterness through some of the years against her mom. But the Lord began to speak to her. Jesus began to change all that. And as the love of God and Jesus Christ poured over her heart, as she surrendered her life to Christ, come to saving faith, received the transformation of a new life through the Holy Spirit, God changed her thinking. God changed her heart. And she was able to come to her mother with forgiveness and reconciliation and understanding. That meant a lot. I would encourage each one of you to hear Vicky's story. And what God can do in someone's life, what God can overcome, what God can change. And God can take something that's broken, and he can fix it. And he can take a life that's ruined, and he can restore it. And that's what he has done in Vicky's life. And that restored the relationship between her and her mother. Laura has here a story that she'd like to share. When asked to share a memory of Mom, the one that came to mind was the mouse that hitched a ride. Dad and Mom rode to work together on a daily basis. Mom would get done before Dad. To pass the time away, she would crochet for a friend or family. That particular day, I met them in the kitchen. As they came in the door, as Mom began to talk, she began to shake her leg. I asked her if she was okay, and she replied that something was in her pant leg. Right then, when she said that, there came that mouse flying out. I screamed and took off to the dining room. Needless to say, on my way to the dining room, I about plowed Dad over. I landed on the dining room table. Dad was trying to figure out what happened as Mom was belly laughing. That sounds just like the way I've had her described to me, trying to explain. Mom always said that mouse hitched a ride in her crochet basket, and then got a ride right back in the house again. Mouse traps were set after that, I imagine. Virgil went on a mouse hunt. We're also told a story about when she was little, she liked to hide. Liked to go find a little secluded area and spend some time alone. And poor mother. You know, you try to keep track of these kids, but you turn around for 5 seconds and began to wonder, well, where is Laura? And searched frantically through the whole house. Sent Vicky down to the Whittier School, which is down there by South Street, right? Y'all lived on what street then?
South Phillips.
South Phillips. or Phillip Street? South and Phillips right there. And you ran down toward the school, see if she went to the playground. Didn't you think he was about 5 or 6? Younger even. The whole house was turned upside down. Shelly was a little bit younger. She was parked on the couch. Don't you move. Can't lose all of them. And it turns out Laura then was sleeping with her blankets all rolled up around her under the bed. It was hard to keep track of you four girls. All right together, isn't that right? Just a year or so apart. Boy, she was a busy woman. Yeah. Shelley would like to, for me to read these words that she has written herself. With God's love and grace, the love from my amazing dad, and a great sense of humor, Mom gained strength to help her work through the hard knocks of life and the lingering effects of a difficult childhood. I believe Mom decided when she married Dad and began her family that things would be different for her children. Her rough upbringing brought challenges, but she surrendered her life to God and allowed Him to help her because to be a good wife and a mother. There were certainly ups and downs, but because of the love she had for God and her family, life was better for us girls and for her, with fun times, family vacations, big family holiday celebrations, birthday parties, slumber parties, and even a couple of Halloween parties before she decided that was a day for evil, and she banned trick-or-treating for about 3 years. Sounds like a kid's pressured her into this. Now, I'm in a little bit of agreement with your mother. We finally convinced her that it was just a time to dress up and get free candy. That's true, too. We also promised not to participate in any evil. Did you girls keep that promise? Finally, she gave in, but it remained a holiday she did not care for. Now, I heard that in these family get-togethers, wasn't your mom always one to say, bring your friends? If you had a friend or something, there was never turning anyone away. Well, go ahead and bring your friend. That's all right. The more, the merrier. Anyone could come. Made sure that everybody had something to eat and everybody had a place to go for all of these holidays and get-togethers. She always gave credit to God and Dad for giving her a loving, secure life. My mom was a strong woman who was a survivor and taught her girls the value of living a life trusting God. She was not a controlling person. She was always upfront and honest and let us make our own decisions. I was amazed at how she was able to let go and let us make our own mistakes. I know that there were times that she was very worried and concerned, but she always seemed to be able to let it go and give it all to God. That has been a great example for me throughout my life. She taught us to push through no matter what life brought our way. A very important lesson Mom taught me early in my life was not to let what other people say dictate my thoughts. When I would cry about what someone had said that hurt me, a common reply was, let it roll off your back and let it bounce off you and stick to them. In my own memories as a child and observing Mom with her grandkids, she was not one to coddle. If I fell down and hurt myself or saw one of the grandkids fall down, as a toddler, Mom would say, get up, you're all right. That's a great lesson, by the way, you young people raising your kids. That's a great lesson. Get up, you're all right. But if crying did continue, she would always come and give a hug and a kiss if needed. I realized later in life that she wanted us all to learn to get up and shake it off and move on. She wanted us to know that we needed to be strong, as she was knew the importance of developing the ability to work through life's obstacles and hard times. She wanted us to be strong and independent. She and Dad together made sure we went to church and learned the truth of God's word and the importance of having Jesus guide and direct our lives. I'm grateful that early in life I learned that Mom's strength came from her relationship with Jesus. He showed His love by giving her a loving husband who modeled the Christian life. This example has shown me that although life has not been easy at times for her and our family, God's love has sustained us through His grace and His strength. The struggles in life have only made us stronger and continue to teach us to rely on the one who sustains us. Shelley says, thank you, Mom, for never giving up and for teaching us that no matter how hard life was, you continue to do your best and to be a good wife and mother. You became a wonderful grandmother and great-grandmother to so many, and we are all blessed to have had your love, loyalty, commitment, and most of all, your humor, even in your last few hours with us. I saw that humor there. Until we will miss you until we see you again. Kind words from Shelley. Now, this time, Roxanne would like to read what she has written. We'll have Roxanne come up, and she'd like to share a few words that she has put down on paper.
Amen, Shelley. I remember Mom crocheting all the beautiful afghans she made for various family members. I remember when we first moved to Gypsum, she cooked up a storm. She baked pepper nuts, hello dollies, pies, and tried her hand at milk carton candles. I loved when she made things. I remember a quilt she made me. She put every old blanket that we had in it. It was so heavy. I could hardly carry it, much less move underneath it. Mom didn't know she invented the weighted blanket. Mom had an ornery side. I remember her chasing us girls with a water hose, a grandchild around the jury place. And she loved having her grandkids around, staying the weekend or a week. I know she never spoiled them. Mom loved her family. I also remember her caring for my grandma Sprague. She did it with such care and love. I knew she felt honored to care for Grandma, for Dad, and his family. Today, I am remembering the good stuff. Mom had a love for us that was deep and strong. She was there for us, and you too. I remember her faith. When Mom prayed, something good was going to happen because she had God on her side. You were going to get your life straightened up because, you know, God was on her side. She loves each and every one of us. And she is with Jesus now, with peace and no pain in her body or her heart. And if you don't believe it, just ask her. That's what she would always say. We love you, Mama.
That was the most notable thing that I learned about Sharon, Virgil, and family is really this unconditional love that she had for her family, that she had for all of you. No matter where life took you, and no matter what mistakes were made, you knew that your mother always loved you. She always told you straight how it was and what she thought was right and wrong, what she thought was best. You'd do well to listen to what your mother and your grandmother has taught you. You do well to learn as much as you can about her. She's an example of a godly Christian woman, a faithful wife, a faithful mother, and a faithful grandmother. God's given her to you. It's your example to follow in her footsteps. You know, it was a blessing to visit her as a pastor to find the calm assurance that she had. When we spoke that first visit, she just wanted to affirm her faith that Jesus did die on a cross, that he took away her sin, that he has been raised up, and that he is the Savior, and that he is Lord. And when we put our faith in him alone, he'll save our soul. And we won't die, but we'll live. He's the resurrection and the life. And if we live and believe in him, we shall never die. And God blessed her in her final moments with probably something that she prayed for. You said that she would have won it. I was a little surprised that night, that morning when I got the phone call that it was that night. And didn't you girls say that you thought you'd all stay there, all four of you, stay the night there with Dad and her? God worked that out. God answered her prayer once again. And Dad, Virgil, her husband was there by her side, and her four daughters, just like it always was. The most precious things in her life, and all of you grandkids also. But right there was her husband and her daughters by her side. God is a God who answers prayer, and he will bless in your life when you trust him. Virgil asked a song to be played that meant a lot to him and Sharon loved a lot. It's called Sheltered in the Arms of God, and you can look this song up. This is a version by a man named Carol Roberson. Let's listen to this song now as we reflect and remember the good memories from Sharon.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Walks with me, and all the earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Walks with me, and all of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Did you know your mom, your grandmother, wanted the gospel preached at her funeral? She wanted to have a clear presentation and explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, for her and Virgil, when they got saved, they came to believe in the Lord Jesus. Virgil shared with me, was in 1977. And they both received Christ that year. The way the story goes, the Holy Spirit began to work in Virgil's life first, began to convict him that he needed to make a change, that things weren't right, that something was missing, and began to place on his heart the need to go to church, to get the family in church, to get right with God. And he came home after being convicted on a particular day and said, "We're going to start going to church." And they went off, began to go to the First Church of the Nazarene. Virgil received Christ as Savior, and later that year, Sharon received Christ as Savior. They came to the place in their life where they believe this Bible is the Word of God, spoken by God. You might be aware of the most well-known verse, John 3:16. Now, all of you girls memorized John 3:16. Some of the grandkids, I wonder, memorized John 3:16. I wonder if we could say it together. Anybody that has that memorized, your mother would have made sure you had John 3:16 memorized. You'd have learned it at church. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I saw a lot of mouths moving. Good. And you know, if you don't have that memorized, if you're not familiar with that verse, your grandmother would want you to go home and get your Bible out and come right back to that verse and cry out to God and say, "Lord, help me to believe this verse. For God so loved the world." You know what? We ought not to take that for granted. When I look around the world and I see its problems, when I see the wickedness and the evil in this world, I think the first question we ought to ask is, how could God love a world like this? And we begin to be honest with ourselves and our own sin in our heart. We can hang our head in shame and guilt and wonder, how could God love someone like me? Someone with the kind of sin that I've done against him, against family, friends, myself. I've taken what God's given me and I've sinned against him with it. For God so loved the world. And God showed his love for the world as he gave his only begotten Son. And that word is speaking about in terms of an offering. And God offered up his only begotten Son. When John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets that would come and point out who the Messiah was, he saw Jesus walking and he pointed and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That God himself brought his own offering. That the blood of bulls and goats and lambs wouldn't wash away sins. They were all meant to point into the final sacrifice, to God's sacrifice, to the Lamb of God. And God sent his only begotten Son, who became one of us. And he lived that righteous life that you and I never could. He never sinned against God. He never sinned against anyone. He was sinless. And so when he died on a cross, it was not for anything that he had done. It was not because he couldn't fight off the Romans or the Jews that put him on a cross. He died on a cross for you and my sin. When Jesus hung upon that cross, although the angels beckoned, they could have come. He could have called a legion of angels to take him off the cross. He remained upon that cross because he was being in obedience to the Father who gave him as a sacrifice. And he loved you and me. And Jesus hung upon that cross to pay the penalty of death for his blood to be shed because of the sin you and I had committed. And all of our sins were placed on Jesus' account. God charged his own Son with our sin. And Jesus died on that cross. His blood was shed to pay the penalty for sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. You don't have to die and go to hell for your sins. But if you die without Christ, if you die without his forgiveness, without his shed blood covering your sin, you will have to face God and give an account for your sin yourself. And what would you say to him? You know the answer you would say to him now. Guilty. You can't argue with God. He's known everything you've done. God is telling us ahead of time, don't wait until that judgment day. It's too late then. He comes to save you from that now. The message is good news. You can be saved from that judgment day now. You shouldn't perish. You don't have to die and go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Put your faith in Christ, and you can have everlasting life. Don't trust anything else. Don't trust anyone else. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your good works. Don't trust your church attendance, your baptism, anything else. But trust Christ alone. Put your faith in Christ. Sharon did, and in her final moments, those final visits, she affirmed that the only thing she was going to trust her soul into the hands of was Jesus Christ. The only thing she would cling to, the only thing that she counted on to take her into the next life was Jesus Christ. She believed that he died on a cross for her sins, and she believed that he was raised up to be Lord, her personal Savior. You know, when Virgil was talking about the change that was brought in their life, God brought a real change in Virgil and Sharon's life. An outward change. Virgil quit smoking. He quit cussing. They made changes in their life. They didn't like Halloween as much anymore, right? They made real changes in their life. And I think each one of you saw that in your grandfather and your grandmother. You saw something different in them. Where does that love come from? Where did that faithfulness come from? What answer would your grandfather, your father, your grandmother, your mother give for the reason? Their own smarts and abilities? But they would say God strengthened them. God enabled them. God gave it to them. God blessed them. Thank God. Urge each one of you to come to Jesus Christ. There are some words here that Sharon wrote in a songbook. She says, when we're disappointed, you know, I think you're going to find when you go through your old Bibles, but you're going to find a whole lot more of these little notes and things jotted down. She says, don't be quick to judge. And boy, don't we do that. What's going on? I can't believe, you know, don't be quick to judge. Seek God's will. Trust God's guidance. Respond in a manner that's pleasing to him. Look for God's higher purpose in what he's doing in your life. Make decisions based on the word of God. Do exactly what God tells you to do. And anticipate the blessing of God. You know, I think these eight things your mother and grandmother wrote down really summarize in a way the way she faced life, the way she handled disappointment, problems, issues, the way she trusted God. It's described right there in words that she wrote down. And when she trusted in Christ, she trusted that the Lord would return and that she would be raised up. Now, we believe the Bible teaches that when we die, we go right into the presence of the Lord. She's there with him now. But at Christ's return, there's a resurrection. And her and everyone who's placed their faith in Christ will receive their resurrected body. And these words were marked in a certain hymn that the girls found. And when late night, when you saw your mother for the last time, it would be the early morning. This hymn has the title, When Morning Sweeps the Eastern Sky, the sun rises in the east. The Bible says, the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It says, I'll be in the rapture with the ones who are set free. The saints are looking for the morning by and by. What a morning. What a happy meeting. What a mighty jubilee. When morning dawns eternal, sweeps across the eastern sky. Oh, happy when the glory morning sweeps the sky. I'll bid the sorrows of this world goodbye. Saints that are here will be caught up in the air when morning sweeps across the eastern sky. Sharon trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She's with him now. And when he returns in that eastern sky, her body is going to be raised up. And so shall she and everyone else who trusts the Lord will be with him forever. Your grandmother, your mother would beg you. She's prayed for you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior so that she could see you again, so that you could be with her in eternity. Your sins can be forgiven today. This may be that 1977 for you, that change, that turning point in your life, a day you'll remember when you were at your grandmother, her mother's funeral, and you said, you know, then God began to speak to me, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Let's have a time of silent prayer as we think about these things. You think about your mother's words to you, oh, please receive Jesus as Savior. believe he died and rose again and be saved today. Let's take a time of silent prayer as we consider the gospel, our faith in Christ. And I would urge you, consider calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved now. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your divine love. Only you could love an evil world like this. Only you could love a sinner like me. You loved me so much that you sent your only begotten Son. Oh Jesus, thank you that you came down to this earth to walk amongst us, to be hungry and thirsty, to face temptation, but to do what we could never do. You lived a sinless, obedient life. Thank you, Jesus. You died on a cross for my sin, for the sins of the world, for the sins of each one here. We pray that your Spirit would convict a soul here, one of Sharon's children or grandchildren, someone here that's not trusted Christ as Savior, to say, you know, this would be the day that they would put their faith in Christ, that you would begin to speak with them, Lord, that your hand would be heavy upon them, that they would believe this good news, that they would repent of sin and believe Jesus died and rose again and be saved. Lord, thank you for Sharon's testimony of faith in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to this place. We've done a pretty good Christian funeral here. We've honored Sharon. We've honored our Lord. We've preached the gospel. We've got one thing left to do in a good Christian funeral, in something that your mother would have wanted, something your mother enjoyed. Now, I heard she wasn't real good at it. But the Bible says make a joyful noise. And you know, when our voices, it doesn't matter how good we can sing, when our voices fall on the ears of God, you know, he hears that in perfect pitch. He hears it in perfect harmony. And that's how he's going to hear our voices now, when we sing from the heart. Let's turn and let's sing some Christian hymns in honor of Sharon and in honor of our Lord today. Let's turn to our first hymn, number 28. Number 28. How great they are. Virgil, we're doing all three verses. Thank you. let's turn to number 507, another favorite of your mother, grandmother, and Virgil's. Number 507, In the Garden. Let's sing all three verses of these as we consider being with Christ and the sweet fellowship that Sharon always had with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Garden. Amen. And last song, I think, really describes the way Sharon lived her life. It describes the way that God gave her grace to end her life. It's number 381. It's the testimony she would give that she found in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together for this last one and let's sing out hymn number 381, Blessed Assurance. Thank you. What a blessing to Sharon, have her family and her friends all here singing to the Lord these songs, praising God. You made your mother very proud. It's a memory that all of you can take for the rest of your life. We've honored God here, and we've honored her, and it's just what she would want. And we've done the right thing here, and this has been a blessing. Why don't we just, go ahead and be seated, and we come to this closing time. The family would like to invite anyone who'd like to. We've got food downstairs, so come on down and let's swap some stories, and let's talk about Sharon, and let's have some good family time together, and y'all can stay as long as you like. The food's been prepared, and let's have a lunch together. Anybody would like to come down and join is invited to come down with the family and do that. And we can share some good times together and enjoy one another's company. And that's another thing your mom would want, right? Anybody can come. Come on, and let's have a good time. Let's eat some food, and let's do some laughing. And let's enjoy the family that God's given to each one of us together. So what I'll do is we dismiss. I'll pray for the food. And if you'd like to just go right on stairs and just jump right into the line and get the food and let's get to eating. And your mom didn't want this to be too long, so why don't we go ahead and get this thing to an end, and let's get to the part that she also liked a lot, and that's some laughing and some talking and some eating and some time together, okay? Let's close our service with a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you, we thank you that you've been with us in this service, all the planning and traveling and bringing people to this time. Lord, thank you for the life that you've given in your precious daughter, Sharon. Lord, you saved her soul. She was a young woman. You transformed her life. And you've given a gift to each one of these family members through her. You've shown some part of yourself and your love, your grace, your mercy, your law, your righteousness, and your forgiveness. Lord, thank you. She has been a faithful wife, a faithful mother, a faithful grandmother. And Lord, I pray that her testimony would be effective for each one here as we take some part of her life and incorporate it into ours, that we hear the message of the good news of the gospel that you save souls in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd bless now as we find strength and encouragement as we go forward in our life. We thank you for the service, all that's been done to prepare for it, the food that you've given to us. You've given us this day our daily bread, and we're thankful for it. We ask your blessing on it, blessing on the fellowship with the family. Safe travels home, Lord. Just pray that you'd give us a blessed testimony as we share the joy and the love as we remember and celebrate the life that you've given in Sharon. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.